If I step up on that platform and hand him my ballot,
that's right,
and I hand him, I'm standing, I can't go up there and just stand on one little plank, another little plank. You get on there, you're on the whole platform.
In all things, choose life. Today, Kenneth Copeland and guest David Barton show us how to stand for the things of God. Keep your eyes on the truth and live in His blessing and protection. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, thank you, sir. We give you praise and we honor you today. Jesus, when you were on the earth, you said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Well, we're excited about that. And we open our ears. We have ears to hear. And we honor your word above all else. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. David, thank you for coming and joining me
love
on the
it,
broadcast.
Bro. Love
I
being
It is so vitally important to have insight and concept from God. Because if you don't have His way of looking at things, then Satan will do his best to blind your eyes, and you're going to see it wrong.
Yeah.
You see it wrong, you do it wrong. Mm-hmm. And particularly if you say it wrong, because you can start speaking your fear. And man, that's what comes to pass.
You know, there's a Bible verse in 2 Corinthians that talks about we're not ignorant of His devices.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
We don't fall in the traps of the enemy. And you and I both grew up in the country. I still live and work on a ranch. And the only thing that makes traps work is that the stuff we're trying to trap doesn't know what they are.
That's it.
Once a feral pig figures out what that trap looks like, he won't go into it. Once that skunk knows what traps are, the only thing that makes traps work is you don't know what they are. And so once you start...
I watched a coyote, and he'd stand there and look at that, and he's thinking, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
And he'll look at it over here, and he'll go back and look at it over there, and then he'll start backing out.
Yeah.
And in a moment or two, he'll turn around, and he is so glad he left.
Yeah, that's right.
And he
that's
didn't
right.
leave you hanging right. there, too.
And that's what God's Word does. It helps us to know, helps us to see. And once you see,
you don't believe
get
I want
no,
that.
I'm not going there.
And when we come together like this, and then we come into God's Word in this kind of ministry environment, boy, it just gets rich. Mm-hmm. Particularly doing the two of us together, lad. I appreciate it, man. I want you to know.
I love it too.
It really ministers. I get more out of it than anybody out there, always. David, let's go back to 1 Timothy 2 once again. Now remember, Jesus said in John 14:21, "He that has my commandments and keeps them or does them, he it is that loves me." Well, I love the Lord, Brother Copeland. Well, do you?
By your fruits.
Yeah.
And you keep
know,
His commands.
I wanted to do that, but my wife said, now, wait a minute.
Yep.
That ain't gonna work.
Not everybody who says.
I know you love your wife, but you need to have an understanding of what. Gloria and I have had an understanding for many, 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 many years since we first got saved in 1962, the same year we got married, that Jesus is first. Mm-hmm. I know that, and she knows that. I know Jesus is first with her, and she knows Jesus is first with me. But David, that's what's made our life
you
so
betcha.
Rich together.
You betcha.
And it's just a marvelous thing. Now, he
that's
said,
right.
"He it is that loves me, I will love him, my Father will love him. I will manifest myself to him." Now, what we're talking about here is 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all. Now, this is the Word of God, right? So, this is Jesus. He is the Word. His name is the Word. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, how could this, or let me rephrase it, how could a failure to do this bring trouble in other parts of our lives, and we don't even know it? There's something you may be praying about, something you're seeking God about, the healing of your body, the family, or whatever, and it's just not happening, and there's something there, and this may be where it is. Well, brother, I don't see how praying for the government have anything to do with my healing. Well, now, wait a minute. What Jesus say? Yeah. He that hath my commandments and does them, he's the one that loves me, and I'll manifest myself to him. Now, let's go back then.
And by the way, Jesus gave 55 direct commands in the Gospels. And so 55 things that came out of his mouth said, this is my command. And in none of them did he say, first of all. So of all the commands he gave, he must think this is fairly important.
That means that's first of all.
That means it's first, because nothing else was first of all. And he said, this is first of all.
David, that's just outstanding.
And so if you can't keep the first command, and by the way, let me just jump off on a different thing here for just a minute. One of the things we say about our government in America and our birth certificate is that it exists to protect inalienable rights. And the guys who wrote that document, like Sam Adams pointed out, he said, we told you in the Declaration that among other inalienable rights were these three, the right to life and liberty and property. He said, but first is the right to life. Now, today with abortion, we think, oh, that'd been cool if they'd been talking about abortion. No, they were talking about abortion. Because I've got their law books from back then, their anti-abortion laws from back then. And it struck me what he said, first is a right to life. The first thing you look at is a right to life. And I've been involved in politics a long time, held political office in Texas 9 years, been involved with, I've probably trained 2,000 candidates for office, probably 120 members of Congress I consider to be good friends. And I have learned that if I can find out where someone is first on the life issue, if I find out where they are first on that issue, with a 90% degree of probability, I will tell you where they are on every other issue. If I know where they are on life, I'll tell you how they voted on TARP and stimulus. I'll tell you what they did on the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. I'll tell you what they did on the UN Small Arms Treaty. You take any issue, if I know where they are on life, I can tell you with 90% accuracy where they are on the other. Because if you don't protect the most, the first thing, then you don't do a good job protecting second, third, fourth. So if you're wrong in life, you're nearly always wrong on conscience issues. You're nearly always wrong on self-protection issues. You're wrong on the marriage issue. You're wrong on economic issues. I actually keep a chart of people where they are on right to life issues and where they are on economic voting issues. It's interesting that those that are 100% right to life get 100% voting record on economic issues.
Well, think about Romans 8. 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm going to flow in the law, if I'm not going to flow in the law of the Spirit of life, I don't have any choice. No. I have to flowing in,
everything
in
else.
The law of sin and death.
That's right.
Now, if that's where I'm going, I don't just go there on one thing and get all the rest of it right. If you're not flowing in the, it's a law.
It's a law.
The law of life.
It's a law.
If you violate the law of life, it's going to put
everything
you over
else.
There in that other category.
And you know, one of the fun things I had after the broadcast last week, I was just thinking about them, and I thought, You know, the word vote really does appear in the Bible a number of times, and it appears under the word choose, because we'll say...
That's what vote means,
isn't
it?
You're choosing someone. We say, choose out from among you leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands, and that's Exodus 18, 20. That means elect, vote, vote for leaders of tens. But we have Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Vote for who you're going to serve. You're going to serve for God, or you're going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living, or the gods back in Egypt where we came from. I mean, he gives you a choice to vote. But the one that really stood out was in Deuteronomy 30, verse 9,
where God says,
choose, you won't curse your blessings. He says, choose life.
Sir.
Well, that's a vote life.
Yes,
vote,
sir.
If you vote life.
My ballot.
I'm going to vote
sir.
Life.
Now, and yet, there's a whole group of people out there that day when he presented that to them, just wrote it on two big mountains up there. Well, no doubt about what he said.
That's right.
Everybody standing there had a ballot.
Yep.
Now, in my mind, this really did help me, man, a long time ago. And the Lord just started just... took me like I didn't, you know, and just set me down and said, now, listen to this. I'm one of a group. And God is saying, I place before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. Well, now, David... Jesus is not standing on that death mountain.
Yeah.
He's over here on this
life mountain. That's
it's
right.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
And he is saying, come stand with me on this platform.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And God began to show me that is the pattern.
Yeah.
That I'm standing out here, I have a ballot, and I'm standing here, and here's this party and candidate, and here's this party and candidate, and that's the reason they call it a platform, because it's what you stand on, what I stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I decide that I'm going to go stand with so-and-so on that platform, and they are taking life from children, and not just children. It's gone beyond that now.
Yeah,
there's
right.
other life issues involved.
Yeah, that's
in
right. It.
I mean, bad stuff.
Yep.
Anyway, if I step up on that platform and hand him my ballot,
that's right.
and I hand him, I'm standing, I can't go up there and just stand on one little plank or another little plank. You get on there, you're on the whole platform.
That's right.
And if they are executing babies,
yeah.
or anybody else, if they're on the death side,
yep.
on the curse side of things, I can't stand there with them without being held responsible as they're
That's
held
exactly
responsible
right.
because I'm an accomplice.
Yep. Yep. You are.
David, this is serious business, man.
That's it.
Well, I just won't vote. Well, you just did.
See, that's I was just about to say that.
You just did.
You got a choice between life and death, the platforms, and I'm sure there were people in that crowd in Deuteronomy 30 saying, I'm not doing either one. You know what? Doing either one keeps you from being on the life platform. There's only one place of life. Any place else except that is not life.
There's not a third choice.
There's not a third choice. If you do nothing, you have not chosen life.
There's
and the
not,
only way you get
there's
blessed.
There's not God and then the devil and then me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's God and everything else.
Everything else.
And if you choose not to vote, that's the same as casting your vote for evil.
David, I think it's worse.
Well, yeah.
For him to know to do it and not to do it is sin.
It's sin.
But I think
And you remember, that's what kept Aaron from going in the Promised Land.
It did,
was
yeah.
He kept his
He just
mouth
stood
shut.
There and didn't say anything.
That's right.
And he got just as much trouble as Moses did.
Moses did. That's exactly right.
And two, well, I'm just not going to vote. That's a coward's position.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just, now wait a minute, you going to live here? Yeah. And you're going to take advantage of all the good things that we have? Yeah. But you didn't do anything to help stop the bad stuff? Well, no, I didn't want to get involved.
Pure selfishness.
Pure selfishness and cowardliness.
That's right.
Cowardiceness.
If you see others being led to the slaughter and you don't intervene, the scripture says their blood will be on your head.
Yeah, it is.
And it's
far more serious than
And this is not optional. Well, I don't have to vote if I don't want to. No, you do too, because God will say, what'd you do with that vote I gave you?
Yeah.
And try explaining to Him that you just didn't feel like it. You didn't like it. You can't do
You don't have any excuse for not praying for these people.
That's right. And if you do that first of all, guess what? Everything else changes.
Oh, it does.
If you do that first of all, your whole life, what's going on in your job will change, what's going on with your kids will change, what's going on with your family. If you will obey what the Scripture says and pray first of all, then you've shown you love Him. He will manifest Himself in every other arena of life.
Well, and that's what He said. If you have My commandments and do them, well, this is one of His commandments here. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing He said, when you stand praying, forgive. Let's go look at that. Look over there in the second chapter of Mark.
By the way, you know, I know we're going to get this verse. One of the big things that keeps people from being involved is they got hurt by some political leader at some point previous in their life that turned out to be a hypocrite or a liar. Same reason people go, there's only hypocrites in that church. I'm not going to that church. I mean, what happens is you get hurt and then you get offended. And then you get bitter, and then you don't forgive, and then it ties you up and you won't do stuff.
Well, now you're into Mark 4, the soul sows the word,
but
it didn't work in the hundredfold in you because you fell for that offense.
That's right. That's exactly
Now, here in Mark 2, you remember the case where Jesus saw their faith and they let the man down in Jesus' house there, and they tore a hole in the roof and let him down in there. And listen to what he said here. He said, son, your sins be forgiven you.
Yeah.
Now, there's forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's the first thing he did was forgive. And then he said, the certain scribes sitting there reasoning in their heart, and they said, who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned in himself, he said, where is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, rise up, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go your way to your house. And immediately he rose. Now look here, the same spiritual force that Jesus released to forgive his sins healed his body.
That's right.
Same force, and not two different things here.
Yeah.
Same force. And you get over here then in 1 Timothy 2, and you begin to give thanks, and you begin to make supplication and prayers and intercessions and for people you don't even like, and some you do, some you don't, but you're just obeying God. So you're not judging the people. You're judging yourself and doing what Jesus said. I forgive them, Lord. I think what he did was the dumbest thing I ever heard anybody doing, but I'm not his judge. I'm not judging, and I'm praying for him. I'm praying for her. I mean, I hold them up to you. And now what's happening? While you're forgiving, this healing force is working in you. That's what Jesus kept putting over and over. You do what I tell you, I'll manifest myself to you. My, don't preach me happy. Glory to God. Instead of allowing that root of bitterness to get going in there, that'll kill your prayer life.
Yeah. It'll kill everything.
It'll kill everything.
It'll kill your family life. It'll kill your job life. It'll kill everything.
That's the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm.
Root of bitterness, Bible says, whereby many are defiled. It won't even stop with you. It'll be poison that you minister to others. It'll affect people around you. It'll affect your wife or your husband.
It'll affect
everybody around you. It's a poison. You got to get that poison out of your system.
My, guys. Now. You got to do it now.
Now.
And on the other hand, it's not a great, long, drawn-out thing. I repent, sir.
That's it.
I was shocked. One of my close spiritual friends and one of your close spiritual friends, Keith Moore. And, you know, Keith gets on something, man, and he just stays on it. And he may have 20, he may do 25 services on it right straight in a row. And he began to deal with repent. I didn't know repent was in there so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I began to see the force of it. It has a force about it that God's looking for. And you were talking one day last week, or it might have been on Monday's broadcast, you mentioned Manasseh. Mm-hmm. Bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy.
I mean, bad guy. But he repented.
Yeah.
And God said, okay. God is not trying to keep people out. He's trying to get
people in.
Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right.
And you're praying and forgiving. And then you repent and say, Father, I repent for having aught against anybody. And I certainly don't have aught against the president or the vice president. Quit paying attention to what other people say about him and get in here and begin. Amen. Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
We've heard over the years that character is not an issue. It doesn't matter. But really, it does. When we're choosing leaders, when we're, you know, making our choices, and even in our own lives, we have to be people of character.
Absolutely correct. Integrity is everything, especially with people who are in positions of leadership. If you don't believe in your leader, if you don't believe that they have your best interest at heart, not theirs,
right,
not their re-election, but your best interest, how can you believe in them?
That's true.
My son took a class one time, and they defined integrity as doing what's right even when no one else is watching. I thought that was so good. Integrity matters. It matters what you do in the voting booth, but it also matters what those folks do when they're in office.
But based on what you said, it's not only our right to vote, it's our responsibility to vote.
Yeah.
As a right given to us from God and a command, that's part of our integritous life, is to be a person of character and to vote our values.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I believe in. So I'm going to make my voice known and make a difference.
If you're going to change anything, it starts right here. You know, you have to be the first one to change. So if you haven't done it in the past, it's time for change.
Right.
That's true.
A better country, a better state, a better county, a better community starts with us, one person at a time.
We've all been told why America was founded, but we need to discover that truth for ourselves.
Contrary to popular belief, our founding fathers were not all atheists and agnostics trying to keep the church out of government. Quite the contrary.
They saw the Bible as a practical guidebook for directing every aspect of daily life and thus government, law, and education.
The Bible is the chief moral cause of all that is good.
The Bible should be read in our schools.
The Bible is a book which teaches man his own individual
responsibility. David Barton's book, Original Intent, was written as a result of years researching original documents from America's inception. With the appendix alone filling nearly a third of this book, he ensures that accuracy is intact.
The Influence of the Bible on America DVD documents the dramatic impact of the Bible on American life and culture. See historical records that prove God's hand in forming this country. Learn how many of our values stem from principles in God's Word.
With these two products, you'll be equipped with the truth of this nation's founding. Discover the undeniable influence of the Bible on America.
Discover the profound influence the Bible had on America's foundation. Order the Influence of the Bible package for $27.99 at a savings of 15%. Log on to kcm.org/TV special and request your package today. Stand up for God's righteousness. Learn the true original intent behind the creation of our courts and Constitution. For an additional 10% off, order the Influence of the Bible package online.
Repenting is not a hard thing. The decision is what can be hard, because if you're locked up in something, you don't want to change that. And what you're doing, you're holding on to something for yourself. And it's like saying, you know, I like the taste of this poison and I'm going to keep taking it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a rational decision. But, Father, this would be a good time to repent over words that you've said and thoughts that you've had over people that are in office, on either party, whatever's going on, and you just gotten mad at them and, you know, I don't know. No, you and I are not the judge. And that doesn't hurt anybody but you or me when we continue to do that. And just pray this, Father, I repent.
Father, I repent.
For having aught against anybody.
For having aught against anybody.
Your word commands me to forgive.
Your word commands me to forgive.
And to love.
And to love.
And so I receive your command.
And so I receive your command.
I forgive.
I forgive.
From this day forward, I am a forgiver.
From this day forward, I am a forgiver.
I'm not a condemner.
I'm not a condemner.
I'm not a judge.
I'm not a judge.
I'm not a criticizer.
I'm not a criticizer.
I'm an encourager.
I'm an encourager.
I want to be like you, Jesus.
I want to be like you, Jesus.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
For forgiving me of all sin.
For forgiving me of all sin.
And cleansing me from all unrighteousness.
And cleansing me from all unrighteousness.
And I pray for those.
And I pray for those
that are in authority.
That are in authority.
And I bless you for blessing them.
And I bless you for blessing them.
I intercede for them.
I intercede for them.
And I'm calling for their salvation.
And I'm calling for their salvation.
Manifest yourself to them, sir.
Manifest yourself to them, sir.
Send somebody across their path.
Send somebody across their path.
With the message of their salvation.
With the message of their salvation.
The message of their healing.
The message of their healing. The
message of their deliverance.
The message of their deliverance.
Thank you, my Father.
Thank you, my Father.
I receive it.
I receive it.
I have it.
I have it.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
And I believe it.
And I believe it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed for with David and me today, I want to send you this little brochure and this little book, free and postpaid, called He Did It All For You, to get you into reading your Bible and studying your Bible and letting it be strong and powerful in your life. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Learn who you are in Christ and how to begin your new life in victory. Request your free salvation package today at kcm.org. Jesus did it all for you. Receive His love and experience the good life God has for you. For additional teaching and free information on salvation, go to kcm.org. Continue to grow in God's Word with this week's Believer's Voice of Victory, available at kcm.org for purchase, streaming, or download. Let God's grace abound toward you and live in the blessing.